Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated tonight. Amen. I am thankful that it feels like summer's coming. Amen. Boy, you talk about shifting in a hurry. Made me think, you know, this is the first day that it's been above 70. I don't know if you knew that or not this year. And boy, it got close to 80. And we jumped in a hurry, didn't we? And I mean, I don't try to spiritualize everything, but I always, you know, the scripture says we understand things that aren't seen by the things that are seen. So then the things we see in the natural, oftentimes I find myself thinking about them as far as. And so anyway, I just, with the changing temperature so quickly, it made me think about the scripture where it says in the last days the Lord will do a quick work. And I thought, you know, sometimes situations look like they're just never going to change, and then it can change in a moment. Amen. It can change in a moment. Amen. A few weeks ago, I wasn't sure summer was ever going to come. In one day, I've determined it's coming. Amen. And so how much more with the Lord? He can, something looks like it may never change. It may never, you know, winters can be long, but God in a moment, amen, in a moment he can bring change. The last few services, we've been concerned about how cool it's been. Now look at us. We're concerned about how hot it's going to be in here. Sister Mary back there fanning her husband. What a good wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't you open your Bibles with me tonight to the book of Ezekiel. We're going to move swiftly at first because I have a few passages of Scripture I just want to read through. And Ezekiel chapter number 34. We'll start with verse number 11. Ezekiel 34 and verse 11. Praise God. I love seeing you with your Bibles. That's a great thing. Amen. Ezekiel 34, verse 11. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. That sure sounds good, doesn't it? Skip down to verse number 22. The Lord is still speaking through the prophet Ezekiel. Verse 22, he says, therefore will I save my flock. They shall no more be a prey, and I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Then he tells us who that is. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. Now, it's important, we'll see, when he says his servant David, he's not speaking actually of David. He's speaking of a descendant of David, all right? We'll understand that when he says, the scripture could even say, even of my servant David. Because the Lord made a promise to David that he would establish his throne forever, all right? Verse 24, and I, the Lord, will be their God. And my servant David, a prince among them, I, the Lord, have spoken it. Then go to the book of John, chapter number 10, and hold your hand there. That way when we get ready to read, we can just start, if that's okay. Where we read here in Ezekiel, it's a great chapter to read the whole chapter. It's an interesting passage of Scripture where the Lord is prophesying and speaking. You have a unique time in Israel where you have shepherds, if you will. They are priests that the Lord has established in Israel. Many of us know the story of Eli and his sons, Hophni and Phinehas, where Eli was a priest of the Lord and his sons were meant to be priests, but it became more about them. They began taking things of the sacrifice for themselves rather than serving as God intended them to serve. They began to heap upon themselves the blessing that were brought to be sacrificed to the Lord. And so that's just one example as you read through the Old Testament. You can find others there as well where there was this motive, if we can call it that, this motive of the priest and the shepherd for the people that had shifted, and it became about them rather than about the people, the sheep, and the Lord's plan. And so when we read Ezekiel chapter 34, we find, if we would have read the whole chapter, we find the Lord speaking through the prophet Ezekiel, and he's saying, you know what I'm going to do is every time I try to get a man to accomplish what I'm wanting to accomplish, it gets a little twisted there. And these priests, these shepherds, turned it and made it about them. And so what I'm going to do, this is paraphrasing what we just read, okay? Go back and read the whole chapter. The Lord says, I'm going to come. This was really his plan all along. I'm going to come, and I'm going to gather my sheep together. And we read those verses of how he was going to care for them, and how he was going to feed them, and how he was going to cause them to lie down. Of course, I don't know about you, it makes me think of Psalm 23 when David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. David was a man after God's own heart. He already knew the Lord was his shepherd. And so we find this prophetic utterance from Ezekiel where the Lord declares he's going to come and he's going to be the shepherd and he's going to be God of the people. And we know, of course, that he's speaking to the children of Israel. He talks about planting them on the mountain of Israel and the fat pasture in Israel on the mountains. We know he's speaking to the children of Israel when Ezekiel's prophesying. So go with me to the book of John chapter 10. Again, please bear with me just a moment. We're going to read quite a bit of Scripture, and then it might take 3 minutes to say what I believe the Lord needs us to say about all that. John chapter number 10 and verse number 1. Jesus is speaking. He says, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. He that entereth in by the door is what? The shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. He calleth his own sheep by name, and he leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Isn't that interesting? The disciples are hearing him say these things, but it's not quite registering with them. And they'd probably heard Ezekiel, I'm guessing, before, right? But it wasn't registering with them. Verse number 7. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He's the door. Verse number 8, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Here we see the Lord Jesus declaring the fulfillment of what Ezekiel prophesied many, many years before. He's revealing himself as the fulfillment. He is the descendant of David. And he's revealing himself and telling them, I'm the door in. And we just read there in verse number 2, he that entereth by the door is the shepherd. Jesus said, I'm the door. He's the way in. We just read, if we're going to be saved, the only way into the fold is through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why the apostles could say with authority in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He is the only way. He's not a way, he is the way. Amen? I remember a few years ago, I don't remember how many, maybe 12 years ago or so, I think it was. I think it was at the second inauguration of George Bush that Franklin Graham prayed at the inauguration. And at least I think that's who it was. But anyway, I remember reading some articles before about how they were supposed to, what they could and couldn't say when they prayed, and things they were allowed to say and not say. And they wanted, it was okay if they said to the Almighty God and the Almighty and God, and but they couldn't declare in the name of Jesus, because that would exclude some. But I remember whomever it was that prayed, and I thought, well, this would be interesting to watch. Maybe it was him, or maybe it was that Rick Warren guy that was praying. Anyway, neither here nor there. But I was intrigued because the article I'd read before, a few days before, I thought, I want to hear that prayer. And I remember them closing out the prayer and at the end saying, in Jesus' name, amen. And I thought, there's some boldness there. To regardless of what they're told they should or shouldn't say, they understand all the power is in the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ is the door. There is no other way to enter into heaven but through him. We must be clear and certain and sure about that, because we're living in a time that I promise you the world is going to press more and more to try to say, hey, there's many ways into the kingdom. There's many roads to heaven. There's many ways to get in. But the word of God is clear. There is only one way. He is the way. He is the door. Amen? That's not what I want to talk about tonight. But verse number 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Keep in mind, the thief's wanting to steal, kill, and destroy sheep. Jesus said, I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Verse 11, I am, what is he? Whoa, hold on a minute. Verse number 2 says, he that enters by the door is the shepherd. Verse number 9, he said he was the door. Verse number 11, he's saying he's the shepherd. Is he the door and the shepherd? He is the door and the shepherd. Now, we're not going to read all of John chapter 10. We could, but I'll spare you tonight. But you read it, you get towards the end of this chapter, and you can find some people are taking issue with the things he said. Matter of fact, I think it's verse number 19 says there's a division among the Jews because of what he's saying. Because he's saying, I'm the door and I'm the shepherd. And if he's the door, that's one thing. But if he's the shepherd, he's saying, I'm God. He's saying, I am the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34 when the Lord said, I will come and gather my sheep. And he's saying, I'm not only the way, I am the one that's leading them. I'm the shepherd. So he's the door and the shepherd. He's the way and the one that's leading the way. And so the Jews were divided over this issue. How could this man, Jesus, he's making himself God. See, this is why the idea of three gods just doesn't line up with Scripture. He is the door and he is the shepherd. He can't be both if you believe in three gods. And so there was a division over this. But make no mistake about it. The Lord Jesus Christ is the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. He's the way in and he's the one that's leading us. He's the way in and he's the one that's going to provide a pasture for us. He's the door and he's the shepherd. I'm thankful for that tonight, aren't you? Skip to verse 14. I'm really trying to get somewhere. We're going to have to hurry. Verse 14, he continues, I am the good shepherd, just in case you didn't hear him the first time. And I know my sheep, and I'm known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 16, I want us to notice verse 16. And other sheep I have. Would you read that line with me? And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also, who's speaking here? Jesus, the shepherd. Other sheep which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring. Those are clear and strong words, aren't they? And they shall hear my voice. And, these are all one thought, there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Amen? Now, John 10, he's declaring, as we shared, the fulfillment of Ezekiel 34. He's the shepherd. But he introduces something here in verse 16 that we do not see in Ezekiel 34. It was all good for the Jews that wanted to believe he was the Messiah. But he just introduced something into the subject that they hadn't quite heard from Ezekiel. Matter of fact, they hadn't heard it from Ezekiel there at all in verse chapter 34 where we read. He introduces to them that I have other sheep that aren't of this fold. What he's saying in plain English to them is there's people that aren't of Jews that I'm going to add to the fold, that I'm going to shepherd. That was also why the Jews were divided about what he was saying as well. Now, you and I know that the other sheep are you and I, the Gentiles. He had already determined, I'm adding the Gentiles to the fold as well. And the way the Gentile gets in is the same way the Jew gets in, through the door. Amen? But this is important because I believe with all of my heart that while the Lord was prophetically speaking here and foretelling of the Gentiles being added, that this scripture is very applicable to where we are in time right now. So I want to read it again. Thank you for leaving it up there, Brother Gabriel. Other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be, how many folds are there going to be? One. And how many shepherds are there going to be? And who's the shepherd? And who's the fold? Us, the church, amen? You're like, oh, that was a trick question, wasn't it? You were listening, though, so that's good. The church is the fold. He's the shepherd, amen? Are we good? All right, now go with me to 1 Corinthians. Now, we've been in 1 Corinthians. We've been in this chapter the last three. This will make the third Wednesday in a row. And I think the Lord is wanting us to lay hold on some things here in our spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse number 12. If you're there, say amen. Amen. All right. For as the body is one, we could almost have that say, for as the fold is one. Is that fair? For as the body is one and hath many members, or many sheep, and all the members of that one body or fold, being many, are one body or one fold, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. That is the infilling of the gift of the Holy Ghost. When you and I are baptized with the gift of the Holy Ghost, that is the one Spirit that baptizes us into the body of Christ. Whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? What do you think? Yes or no? No. All right. Just because the foot says I'm not of the body doesn't make it not of the body. No, it just means the foot doesn't understand. Right? Okay. Verse 16, if the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? No, just means the ear doesn't understand. Verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, verse 18, but now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. Who did it? God did it. He set them in the body. God chose everyone's place. That's literally what set them in means. He chose their place. He put in place. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where were the body? But now are they many members, yet one body? And the eye can't say to the hand, I don't need you, or the head to the feet, I don't need you. Nay, much more, those members of the body which seem to be more feeble are necessary. Most of you know, our dear brother dropped the weight on his big toe. And if you don't know, then you don't know who it is, and I'm not going to call him out or anything. But, you know, it's funny. You don't realize how important those toes are till you mess one up. Right? That's not something we say. When's the last time you posted a selfie of your big toe? Yeah, exactly, right? It's like, yeah, that's not really a comely part. I'm not, but it's pretty necessary, right? It's pretty necessary. Vitally necessary, matter of fact. It's body's pretty out of balance without it. Verse 23, those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor, and our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need. I mean, like, really, what purpose does our face serve other than to help people identify us? Right? Help people identify me, right? What purpose does our hair serve? I guess it keeps our head warm. Right? Things that we put more time, right? We spend a lot of time messing with our hair, some of us. Right? Brother Martin, it's... He spent a lot of time on his hair tonight. When I'm waiting on my daughter, it's usually because she's working with her hair. And I'm thankful that she does. But right, we spend a lot of time on those things that sometimes they don't, what purpose do they serve? Verse 24, our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body. I say no schism in the body. But that the members should have the same care one for another. You know what I think that scripture could say? No favorites in the body. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. Okay, so we read all that scripture. We talked through those things. I believe we are in a time where the Lord is adding sheep to the fold, where he has sheep that are not yet in the fold that he also must bring. We have witnessed new faces just in the last few weeks. We have, if we were to go around the room, many of us have had interactions with people over the last few months where it's been new, fresh interactions where God has caused paths to cross. Doors have been opened. The Spirit of the Lord is drawing men. And the Lord is wanting to add sheep not yet in the fold. Or add members into the body. Are we okay with not taking, I'm not taking scripture out of context. Add members in the body. Sheep added into the fold. Okay. He said he must bring. That fits in alignment with the scripture of what Paul said here in 1 Corinthians. The Lord sets them in the body. All right? And so, it's interesting. I've never had any transplants. I don't know if anybody in the room has. It's an interesting thing about the human body that when someone gets a transplant, I learned this. I have a client who had a kidney transplant. Even though that new part that's added into the body, for this man, he needed the new kidney or he was going to die. And so the kidney transplant, what was placed in his body was there to save his life. There was a function that wasn't happening in his body. And so doctors found the issue and said, we've got to replace this or we've got to put in what you have does not function. And so we're going to give you what functions. But the body, this is an interesting dynamic, and this is true of any transplant. The body initially tries to reject what's given to it. Remember where we started about the heat and how quickly it changes and how we understand things that aren't seen by the things that are seen? If we truly believe that the interactions that the Lord has been bringing us in the last few weeks and months are ordained of God. And if we truly believe that doors that are opening for us in different areas are the orchestrating of the hand of God. And if we truly believe that the people that we are seeing new and fresh that seem to be are the drawing of the Spirit of God and the design of God to place into the body, then we have a responsibility as a body. But there's something I've even observed in the body of Christ at times. That when a new member is set in a body, if we're not careful, the body of Christ will reject that which has been set in the body for the better functioning of the body. I'm stepping carefully here, but I know the Lord has been dealing with me about. I'm really not trying to pick on Brother Martin. He's just sitting on the front corner. Martin and Joe are fairly new in the body here. I'll pick on both of them that way. They're right. They got company. They're fairly new in the body here, aren't they? The last 7 months, 10 months. See, time flies when you're having fun. Could have said, man, it seems like 3 years. No, but no, see, I thought it was less time. 10 months now. Does it seem like Brother Martin's already been here 10 months? Time flies. Joe, the last 3 months. We up to 3 months now, right about 3 months. He was here before. He just wasn't quite ready to identify that God was placing him in the body here yet. And that happens. And so we've watched, and if we're sensitive to the Spirit of God, if we are spiritually a part of the body of Christ here, we identify fairly quickly that the Lord has placed these men in the body. Amen? We identify. Now, we may not go, oh, man, I know exactly what his function is in the body now. I know exactly his place in the, I know what he's supposed to do, where he's supposed to be, how he fits. He's an ear for sure. We don't know that. He's the hearing. That sounds better than the ear, doesn't it? And we can see Brother Joe, and we can say, man, we see his place in the body. And Brother Martin, we see his place in the, or maybe we just identify spiritually. No, God has set them in the body. I bear witness in my spirit as the body of Christ. The head of the body is telling me, the shepherd of the sheep is telling me, this is a sheep he's placing in the fold. Does that make sense? And so identify with that. And so what I have to do is I have to identify and recognize, okay, the Lord has set them in the body. I may not understand their place fully, completely yet. But I do identify by the Spirit of the Lord that he set them in the body. And so therefore, I want to make sure as a sheep, and I believe the Lord is challenging us as sheep, to recognize and identify with my spirit, so that I then say, Lord, let me make sure that I'm fulfilling your purpose for my life in the body. And as you add another member, let me be knit together with the newly added member according to the leading of your spirit for their place in the body. Let me not be of those that would reject what you would place, who you would place in the body. Amen. Let me give you some examples. You ever heard of Paul, the apostle? Yeah, okay. You know, the apostle Paul, he was not so much a supporter of the body. I mean, read the book of Acts. Matter of fact, he so opposed the body that he went to the religious and got letters so that he could go and arrest these followers of the shepherd and cast them into prison. And he was on another mission to go and grab more. And along the way to Damascus with his letters to lay hold on those following the voice of the true shepherd, a light shone from heaven, struck him down. He didn't understand what was going on. He heard a voice and he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And the voice, of course, cried out to him, "I am Jesus whom you persecute. Is it hard for you to kick against the pricks?" And he was blinded and he had to be led by the hand into Damascus. And while he's on the way, the Lord told him, "You know what? You need to go and see Ananias. He's a man there. He'll pray for you. You'll receive your sight." And while he's going there, the Lord then, after telling Paul, went and told Ananias. He said, "Hey, you've heard of Paul. He's going to come and I want you to pray for him that he'll receive his sight. He's a chosen vessel unto me." We know that story, right? I wonder how the apostle, and so, we better back up. The apostle Paul went to Ananias. Ananias prayed for him. Scales, as it were, fell from his eyes, I believe physically and spiritually. scales, as it were, fell from his eyes. He saw again physically, and spiritually the Lord opened his understanding. He was filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he immediately began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Question. I wonder how the body of Christ readily accepted Paul into the fold. I wonder if the Apostle Paul had maybe arrested one of their brothers or sisters. I wonder if the Apostle Paul had ever maybe taken one of their parents or grandparents and bound them up and thrown them into prison. I wonder if any of them were really good friends with Stephen and they watched as Paul stood there holding coats while men stoned him. See, even in Scripture, there were those that had baggage that were added to the body. What if the body would have rejected the Apostle Paul and not allowed the Spirit of God to work through him and allowed God to place him and set him as he chose? You understand, this man wrote half of the New Testament. But if the body had not identified spiritually, this is a work of the Lord. Now, you want another example so that you don't think there's just one in all the Scripture? Read Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, we find, of course, that Peter has a vision on a rooftop. He heads to Cornelius' house in Caesarea. Cornelius is not a Jew. He is a Gentile. He's an Italian. He goes to Cornelius' house. Peter begins to declare the word of God to them. We find that by the 44th verse, we find that the word of God, as they hear it, the Holy Ghost falls on them that hear the word, and they begin to speak with tongues. And Peter, recognizing what happens, says, "I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord." And they get up and they're baptized in Jesus' name. Now Peter has a problem. There are these people that were born into the body. That's where we read in 1 Corinthians 12, you're baptized into Christ by one Spirit. They were baptized or born into the body by one Spirit. And so Peter has to go back to Jerusalem, and he has to tell them, hey, you know what? Something happened that this hasn't happened before. These aren't Jews. These are Gentiles. But I'm telling you, and I got these five or six or however many guys that was it with me, they'll bear witness. Guys, tell them what happened. I know we haven't seen it like this before, but these are chosen of God. We witnessed them receive the Holy Ghost the same way we did. We commanded them to be baptized in Jesus' name the same way we were, and they were obedient to the word of God. And you can read it. There were some that were struggling with the Gentiles being added into the body. They wanted to judge and find fault and wanted some exclusivity. Look, when we become a part of the body of Christ, it's exclusive. His body's exclusive, but it doesn't exclude anyone. It's whosoever will, let him come. And the Lord places whom he will. And so we must ask the Holy Ghost to search out our heart and our spirit so that as he in these days ahead begins to set members in the body and bring those that are not yet in the fold. I want to make sure there's nothing in my spirit, character, attitude, or anywhere else that would reject whom he would place in the body. Amen? Now, he may bring someone that you have some history with. I don't know. Well, you'll find out if it's under the blood or not, won't you? Whosoever will, let him come. The Lord has souls in these valleys that he's ready to bring. He's ready to set into the body. There's been communication. I can think right now four different individuals that just in the last week and a half I've had communication with. I'm believing God's going to set them in the body. And so we have to have the Spirit of God that embraces whom he sets in the body. Amen? It's a work of his Spirit. And the Lord is opening doors for others that are teaching Bible studies. The Lord's going to begin adding people into the... That doesn't mean they'll all come and be in this building, you understand. But we have to have a witness of the Holy Ghost and recognize whom the Lord sets in the body as his choosing. He sets as it pleases him. Not as it pleases me or you, as it pleases him. And I want the heart and the mind of Christ so that he can set who he will. In Jesus' name. Would you pray with me about that right now? I want to talk to the Lord about, Lord, who you want to set in the body. You've given me, you've placed in me by the Holy Ghost, the ministry and the word of reconciliation. You cause our paths to cross with those whom you've chosen to place in the body. I pray for the Spirit of the Lord leading to recognize that you have already identified need and purpose for the adding to, the edifying of, the growing of the body of Christ. You are the head. We are the body. We trust whom you place and how you place them. Let us be fitly framed together that each joint would supply according to your design and your desire, according to your choosing. I pray let your Spirit flow through us as members of the body, that when one is added, there is a connecting of the Spirit and a flowing of the Spirit to supply need. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Ila masoto riama yekitaha. Iluru riala modili esuri elebedili esuturiemo. Hikurielo riaba, yeluritie. Iluru riala masuri elededikaha. Jesus, in your holy name I pray. You are the shepherd, you are the door. Itama Yesuriaka Hare Endele Esu Itahara Bashetolo Bokose. In Jesus' name. It is not coincidental that when the Apostle Paul finished the last three verses of chapter 12 there in 1 Corinthians, he continued talking about God. Verse 28 starts, and God hath set some in the church. Talks about where God has set them and how he set them, and he talks about the gifts that they work in and operate in. And he closes out that chapter, though man put the chapters there, it's just one letter. He says, covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. And he begins chapter number 13, what we call chapter 13 as the love chapter. He says, though I speak with the tongues of men of angels, have not charity, I'm nothing, or I'm a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. Though I have faith that I can move mountains, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. He said, though I prophesy, nothing if I don't have love. Went down a list of things. He said, though I bestow all that I have to the poor, if I even give my body for this cause to be burned, said, if I don't have love, I'm nothing. One letter, it followed him talking about placing members in the body. You know what will allow God to place members in the body and the body in its present state not to reject them but to identify with the Spirit of God placing them? The love of God operating in our hearts and lives. Amen? The love of God operating in our hearts. I want his love operating in my life, through my life, for his purpose in the body. Why don't you stand with me tonight? I I want to do something here as we close. We have, there are doors opening, and I believe more are going to open for avenues of ministry throughout the valley in Bible studies. I know some, but I wouldn't act as though I know all. How many of you are, anyone here teaching a Bible study tonight? I don't necessarily mean a formal one every single week, but you have some form of ongoing Bible study with an individual, a couple, or a family. Would you raise your hand if you do? Okay, I'm going to ask you to come up front here if you do. Now, I don't know all the situations at hand here. I know some. I do know, and I feel like I want to share this, and I have permission. I ask ahead of time. The Lord has opened a door for Sister Jasmine to start a P7 club, which is a Bible study at school where she is. I know there's only 5 or 6 weeks of school left, but 5 or 6 weeks is enough time to get the seed in the ground and open some doors through the summer. Amen? And so the Lord has opened this door. She's going to start that Bible study at school next week. The Lord is using these avenues because he has sheep that are not yet in the fold that he must bring. He must bring. It's his mandate for himself. Amen. It's what we saw in the book of Acts. The Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. It's the shepherd knowing I've got sheep I've got to bring. And so I want to pray for these that are standing up here tonight. Amen. I want to pray the anointing of the Lord for the door that's been opened. I want to pray the wisdom of the Lord. Amen. The working and the operating of the Spirit of God in and with and through their lives. Amen. Praise God. Those of you that are still standing, I want you to come and find a brother or sister where appropriate, and let's begin to pray with them according to this end. Amen. Come on, it's a work of God's Spirit. He's opened these doors to us, and there's more yet that he will open. Amen. Those of you in the aisle, come on in a little bit. There's others that would like to come through here. If you're praying there in the aisle, maybe you can make room for people to get through. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. Your word, quick and sure, in the mouth of the children of God. Your unction, your utterance, in the name of Jesus, we pray. The wisdom of God that is peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated. In the name of Jesus. Hila Mashekoya. Hila Thank you. Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Hikatahare Yesu. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. It is a work of His Spirit. Amen. Now, Paul told Timothy clearly, study to show yourself approved unto God. Study to show yourself approved unto God, not to men. So we study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we must study the word of God. But as you go, and the Lord continues to open these doors, we must teach the word of God in the power of the Spirit. Amen. The Lord's going to do a quick work. And so as you study, the Lord will open a door to teach what the Spirit has given you insight into. And as you study and then you begin to talk to someone, the Lord sometimes will give spiritual insight as you're sharing what you've been studying. We got to be led of His Spirit in the teaching. Very spiritual work. Amen? A spiritual work. And if you're newly teaching, sometimes that's easier than if you've been teaching a while or if you've been sharing Scripture a while. Because it's very easy to sit down and say, well, let me just tell you and show you. God has given you the ministry and the word of reconciliation in His Spirit. Amen? Praise God. God bless you. It's warm in here now. You're dismissed in Jesus' name. Be a good night to visit out front, probably. It might be a little cooler out there.